In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at the Feast of the Holy Family as it occurs this year in Cycle C. However, if you notice in the lectionary, the texts for A, B, and C are movable. You could use A or B or C, or you could take part of A, part of B, part of C. But I still consider that the best way to present the material is to take it in, as the basic lectionary presentation, A, B, and C. So we're going to be looking now at the third. We've already done A and B. And now we're going to look at C. Now, C is a remarkable text in the way that it works. And we'll see that as soon as we get there. But I'm going to take the first 15 minutes to reflect on the fundamental basic text about marriage, which is Genesis 2 and 3. There's a very profound text also in Genesis 1. We're going to do that that way. We're going to look at Genesis 2. 3 is the story of the fall. In Genesis 1, we have another tradition, which we've already treated of. So now we're going to look at this text. After we first just consider marriage, man and woman, in the presentation, the early presentations. The nature of this literature is such that it is very profound and it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. There is a tendency sometimes to look at the material and consider it primitive. And we're so much more advanced than they that we can ignore what they're saying. Well, we can't, for two reasons. One, it's not primitive. And two, it's the Word of God. Now, as you all have heard, I suppose by now, there are varying traditions being incorporated, some written, some oral, it seems, and we're not going to have to go into that, because I want to take what, by all accounts, is the oldest text, which is Genesis 2 and 3. But throughout the whole of the Bible, there is teaching on man and woman, and on sexuality, and on marriage. And I thought if we were just to begin to look at this oldest text, Genesis 2 and 3, it would be helpful. And so that's what we're doing in this first 15 minutes. The text then begins in chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Now, you have to realize this is, besides being poetical and symbolic, it's based on a cosmology that we've been able to supersede, but not the insight. These were mystics. They knew that this world came from God. And they knew that man and woman came from God. And they knew that marriage came from God. And so some of the confusion we face nowadays, trying to do away with this whole revealed tradition and put really nothing in its place, same-sex attraction means that men can marry men and women can marry women. Well, that's not the point of marriage. for the marriage is to confer life. Yes, life on the spouses, but then life on the children. That's the point of marriage and the joy of marriage. And so that's what we're looking at right now. You see, on the day when Adonai God made earth and heaven, now comes this poetic description that there was nothing. The earlier text speaks about Tohu Vavohu. That's the priestly cone. This one just says, see, there was no field shrub on the earth. No green plant had yet sprung up. For Adonai God had not yet sent any rain on the earth, and there was no Adam. There was no man to work the earth. Lahavod et Adama. See, in Hebrew, there was no Adam to work the Adama. And this link between Adam and soil, Adam and earth. You see, from earth you came and from earth you return. And that is even in his name in this first text, you see, in the oldest text, not the first literally. You see, so there was nothing, no life, because there was no rain and there was no Adam. You need human beings. And the word lavud, you see, that, like in our languages, culture also means cultivate. Cultivate the land. But culture is a cultivating reality. And so, spring water rose out of the earth and slaked the soil surface. Then starting in verse 7, Adonai God fashioned the man, Yetzer, Adonai Eloheich Elohim, et ha'adam. And he fashioned him afar min ha'adama, dust from the soil. So we're earthy, we're physical. Now what's the difference? The very next line, and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a nefesh, Chaya, a soul alive. Now, even that phrase, soul alive, alive, doesn't exhaust it. I have to watch my time because it's a very profound and I want to go over each little part and I don't really have time. Nefesh Chaya, I think it comes 9 times. Here, it's not that it's a living soul, it's how he becomes a living soul. This Nefesh Chaya breathes the breath of God. You see, it says there that God breathed into him. And so he breathes the breath of God. So, and that's what makes him so different, you see. And then he planted a garden to the east, and he placed there the man whom he had fashioned. And then Adonai God had spring up from the soil, all kinds of trees, delightful to look at, and so forth. You see? And then, finally, the animals. And then finally, he said, the man gave names to all the tame animals, to all the birds of the heavens, all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was no Ezer Kulegedo. There was no helper matching him. But you have to be careful with this word, helper, Ezer. Ezer comes 21 times in the Bible. 14 of them apply to God. What there was no divine aid matching him, reflecting him, kunegedo. So what man lacks at this moment, Adam lacks, is a divine aid who will reflect him, match him. So what is the helper supposed to do? You see, this is not the helper, you know, man comes home from work, you know, where are my slippers? What time is supper? That's not a helper. The helper is one who helps him be human without interaction, without dialogue, without community. There's no humanity. So this is to make him one and to make him human. So Adonai God built up the Rebbe, a taken from the man into a woman, and he led her to the man. Then the Adam said, now these are the first words of Adam in the Bible. They are a hymn of wonder and gratitude at woman. These are the very first words. This one at last is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called Isha, woman, because from man she was taken, Ish, this one was taken. So Ish and Isha, man and woman, you see, that forms community. Now there is a helper helping him be human who reflects him. And this is God's genius, that there is this shared life which imitates in its own small way the shared life of the Trinity. Person needs person. And so Adam needs Eve. See? And so for this reason, then the author steps in, for this reason a man leaves his father and mother, the most primal relationship in the world, and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, not only in the act of intercourse. They become basar echad. Basar is a precious word in the Bible. You see, basar echad means it's the physical expression of each of them becomes one. So that Adam has a physical expression, Eve has a physical expression, but they're coming together in love, reflecting, helping. You see, that makes this physical expression and this physical expression become one physical expression. Is that clear? I hope it is. Because this is the foundation for marriage. And that's why, you see, all of humanity can be called kol basar, all flesh. But the basic unity of that all flesh is this flesh, you see. And they become basar echad, one physical expression in two persons, if you will. And then one more remark. This is regarding sexuality. They were both naked, the man and his wife, but they felt no shame with one another. Because, you see, none of the drives were out of order. This is what's called by John Paul II in his marvelous work on the theology of the body. In the new translation, it's called Man and Woman, He Created Them, and it's marvelous. You don't have a lot of time if you're getting ready to preach, but to read this, and even to read the part that we have for the reading, is quite beautiful. You see, they felt no shame with each other. There was nothing out of order. You see, shame is a limit experience, like death. We can imagine a state in which there is no death, just as we can imagine a state in which there is no shame. It's a limit experience. It gives us a limit, but we can extrapolate beyond a limit. And so, this union of man and wife, you see, is the nucleus of all humanity. And it will be returned to that state. The physicality will once again be, you know, basar echad, you know, but the whole race will be basar echad, one physical expression of communion, beings relating to each other in the power of their relationship to God, and they will continue to breathe the breath of God forever.